speaking on this program is Brother Kevin T.
In a study of God's Word, one comes across a variety of different subject matters. In the Scripture, we are introduced to the creation. And it's through our reading of the book of Genesis and other books that help us to understand that there is indeed a God in heaven who is responsible for the creation of all things, including the creation of mankind in our state of existence. In a reading and study of the Old Testament Scripture, we come to an understanding of Jewish beginnings. We see how that God worked through the Jews, setting them up as His chosen people for the purpose of bringing Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Savior, into the world, so that you and I are able to have eternal salvation in and through Jesus Christ, conjoined with our obedience to God's will. It's through our reading and studying of the Old and New Testament Scripture that we come to universal foundations, things that God set in order from the very beginning, and those things are still in place even unto this very day, and that it is God who is operating in a very direct way behind the scenes to maintain the existence of this world and many other things that you and I are able to enjoy in life. As we come to a consideration of the various subject matters of the Bible, I want us to understand that the overriding theme, the major theme of the Scripture, is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Every book of the Bible pictures Jesus. As you read from the Old Testament and in through the New Testament Scripture, it is all about Jesus Christ, our Lord. There are messianic prophets of the Old Testament Scripture, and one of the most messianic messages we have is from the book of Isaiah. Isaiah is indeed, amongst scholars today, identified as the messianic prophet. What is it that this prophet says in regard to Christ? Friends, we understand through the writings of Isaiah that He is a mighty God. By calling Him the mighty God, he identifies that Christ is eternal in His existence and that He is superior in regard to His rule and authority over mankind. He is the counselor that man needs to turn to in order to receive counsel from God. He is the King of all kings, greater than any leader that ever has or ever will walk upon the face of the earth. As I read and study from the book of Isaiah, particularly Isaiah 53, Isaiah presents Christ as the suffering servant. As the suffering servant, he identifies as that Jesus would be a man of sorrow, filled with grief, suffering for our iniquities. I want us to understand that as we look to the life and teachings of Christ, friends, we see that indeed he was a man of sorrow. Take into consideration at the death of Lazarus, his dear friend. Whenever Jesus is told in regard to the passing of Lazarus, the Scripture tells us in the shortest verse of the Bible that Jesus wept. He wept in sympathy because of his loss, but also for the sympathy of the family, knowing what it was that they were going through and how that they were dealing with the loss of this loved one, and no doubt the grief that they also would have felt. But also, I believe that we see his grief in the cross. When Jesus Christ gave His life at Calvary's cross, the Scripture identifies to us is that He shed tears there. He cries out in sorrow, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? My God, why have You forsaken Me?" Friends, in this, I believe that He grieved over the state of what He was going through and why He was going through the cruel and undeserving punishment there on the cross. As we explore the totality in regard to the life and teachings of Christ, I believe that we see here in the context of Luke chapter 19, verses 41 through verse 44, is that Jesus grieved over the state of the Jews, over their behavior. And the Scripture identifies to us in the context here is that as Jesus drew near unto the city, He saw the city and He wept over it. Why? From the immediate context, it draws out, he says, that if you had known, even you, especially in this, your day, the things that make for your peace. They did not know the things that made for peace. They did not know the true and living God. Friends, what is it that drew Jesus to weeping over the city, over the Jews? The Jews had been instructed in regard to God's law by Moses and the prophets. In this, they had been given the divine law. They had received the Ten Commandments and all of the statutes and ordinances that God required of them. And not only had Moses delivered the law unto them, through the prophets they were given divine detail, very accurate pictures in regard to what it was that God expected out of them. And as God was describing the law and the path that He had for them, He wanted these individuals to understand is that they were going to have God in their life if they would follow according to His divine guidance. But outside of that, is that they would certainly be lost. Good friends, what do we find in regard to the message of the prophets and that of Moses? It spoke in reference to Jesus Christ, our Lord. Everything from the Old Testament Scripture was pointing to the coming of the Christ. And the Jews, as they heard and read from the law of Moses, as they heard from the prophets of old, did they understand the message? Absolutely not. They misunderstood the message in reference to Jesus Christ our Lord. And as a result of this, they were not able to know the peace of God that surpasses all understanding through a relationship that is attained through Jesus Christ our Lord. Friends, as I look to our modern age, I'm reminded as we look out and consider the religious world is that a majority in the religious community fail to understand our God. As we look to the world today, we find that the world, from a religious standpoint, is filled with all kinds of religionists, all sorts of different denominations who look to the Scripture and they interpret it for their own selves. They do not follow in compliance to the will of God. They do not look to the true nature of God. They look to the love of God and they want us to believe that God is a God of all love and therefore He's going to save all of humanity no matter what it is that they engage in. And friends, in that misunderstanding, we need to understand that they also grieve God because they do not comply with the will of God. God is grieved over their state and God seeks to save these individuals, but He will not save them according to their own methods or according to their own religious ways, but rather God calls them unto godly repentance. He wants them to wake up to the error of their way. And also, in waking up, He expects these individuals to turn and to read and to study the Scripture and apply His standards according to the only way in which they can and truly be interpreted in the context of which He is given. Friends, also, I believe that as we look to the weeping of Christ here in the book of Luke chapter 19, verses 41 through verse 44, we see is that Jesus wept over their cold hearts. Jesus had taught them early on in the immediate context what it meant to be a genuine disciple of His, what it meant to be a true follower of Him. What does God require? He explained unto them is that they were going to have to love God with all of their heart, soul, mind, and strength. They were going to have to focus their full attention, their entire lives, upon who God is and upon serving Him faithfully in order for them to be able to maintain a relationship with Him in the kingdom that He was establishing in the death of His Son. But as we look to these individuals in this context and even in the broader context of the Scripture, we find is that their hearts were not truly set on serving God. They were set on serving themselves. They were set on pleasing their fellow man versus glorifying God. And friends, as a result of that, then Jesus is weeping over the fact that their hearts were cold, that they were not drawing near unto Him as what He had sought to draw near unto them. And as I look and to compare this modern age, I find is that oftentimes in the religious world especially, but sadly even in the Lord's church from time to time, we find individuals, members of the church, whose hearts are not fully committed to God. How do we know that an individual's heart is not fully committed to God? They will not have proper study habits. They might assemble for the sake of class. They might even attend worship services, but they do not pick up their Bible and read it beyond the doors. And friends, God expects us to read and to study the Scripture on a daily basis. We need to study. We need to be diligent in our pursuit to rightly divide the Scriptures that we might show ourselves approved unto God. But then in like figure, we might be able to gauge as to a person's heart a lack of focus upon God if indeed they are not in the worship assembly. Whenever we are commanded to come together. And in that, we find is that these individuals would not be fully committed to God. Half-hearted Christianity is not acceptable to God. And as we look to the way in which God sees these individuals, I believe that our God is grieved over them. Why? Why would God be grieved over those individuals who do not give their heart fully to Him? Friends, because God gives His heart fully to us. And I believe that that's demonstrated in the fact as to what God has done for us at Calvary's cross and still as to the way in which God operates providentially in our lives. And when God speaks in regard to His love for us, the level of His love for us in the Scripture, and we read and study and see that, He wants you and me also to have our hearts sold on serving Him. And whenever we're not, I can only imagine that our God is grieved as a result of that. But also, as I think about the way in which Christ wept over the city of Jerusalem, I believe that He wept over their lost souls. Jesus saw their spiritual emptiness as He looked out upon these individuals. And as He saw these individuals, friends, He saw that they might have claimed religion. He saw that they were going through the motions in regard to the law of Moses, but still at the same time, it was just that they were going through these steps without really and truly concentrating on God. They claimed to be of the seed of Abraham, but yet at the same time, they were lost in the sight of God. And today, the way in which we would parallel this is to look at members of the church who are unfaithful before God. And these individuals, as they would assemble together, they may go through the motions, but still at the same time, their heart's not in it. As they go out into the world, they live like the rest of the world. You can't tell any difference between them and someone who is not in the church. And God would see these individuals as unfaithful, and as a result of their unfaithfulness, our God grieves. And God works continually through His faithful saints, through Christians, brothers and sisters in Christ, to restore these individuals. It's not His desire for anyone to be lost, but rather He wants all of mankind to come unto repentance. And especially, if you would, members of the church, those who belong to Him, He seeks for them to come back to Him, to be restored, and then to walk in accordance to His will. Friends, Jesus looked to the lost, and I believe that no doubt He grieves over these individuals. But I believe also, as we think in regard to the context, this immediate context, we see is that Jesus wept over these people because He understood that AD 70 was approaching very quickly. He realized that in their unfaithfulness to God, is that God had sent the prophets unto them and they rejected the prophets. He realized that He being the Messiah, He was sent unto the Jews first and they rejected Him. And He knew, being deity, God Himself, is that God's plan eventually was for Judaism to fall and all those who were outside to suffer the consequences. And as He looked unto God's judgment of them using the Roman Empire, friends, He wanted so much for them to be saved, but He knew that their heart was cold and that there was no way that these individuals were going to come unto repentance. The Bible identifies to you and me is that there is a day that God has appointed for every single one of us. There is a day in which Jesus Christ our Lord is coming again. He's not coming to this world to establish some sort of a physical, earthly kingdom, but rather the Scripture tells us that He is coming in the sky. And when He comes, the Bible identifies to us is that it will bring an end to everything. From a world standpoint, this earth will melt with fervent heat, and all who are in the grave will be resurrected, and the saints will meet the Lord in the air. And then those who are alive, the Scripture identifies to us as that they will be resurrected as well. And they will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And at that time, the Bible identifies to us that every single one of us will stand before God in judgment to give an account of our life to the One who has created us. To give an account of our life as to whether or not we really and truly have loved God through service to God while we are here. And if we are on the outside, friends, there will be no hope in the day of judgment. And I believe that God weeps over the loss of those individuals in that day because of His desire to spend eternity in heaven with all who are created according to His image. You see, every soul has an invitation by God. The Jews did in the context. And friends, you and I do today. We have an invitation by God to repent and to obey Him. To repent means to turn away from. The Jews didn't turn away from Judaism. The Jews didn't turn away from their personal lives. And sadly, so many today refuse to turn away from God. If we want to spend eternity in heaven with God, we must repent, turn away from the sinfulness of this world, and to turn to God, and to serve God faithfully, to obey Christ in baptism. But not only to obey Christ in baptism, and it's in baptism that our sins are forgiven, but to obey God continually as we live here upon the face of the earth, to please God today, to glorify Him, and then to dwell eternally in heaven with Him someday. Jesus wept over Jerusalem, over the Jews, their lost state. And today, He weeps over those who are outside of the body of Christ. But yet at the same time, He extends His invitation to those who will heed His bidding. If you're subject to the Lord's call in any way today, we invite you with His invitation as together we